The Holy Gospel according to John in the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Not too long ago, I was doing the Passover story, the story of Moses and the Israelites leaving Egypt and going to freedom to the Promised Land. I was doing this story with a group of elementary kids, and I was doing it through Godly Play. In Godly Play, you have these little figures that move around and tell the story in kind of a slow kind of fashion. Well, we got to the part in the story where Moses reaches out his hand and he parts the waters. It's very quiet. It's very peaceful. One young person yells out, "I don't think that could happen. I don't believe that." And the other kids looked terrified. And I paused, but I thought, you know what? Honestly, fair. Miracles are really hard to believe. This sweet kid was not yet conditioned, like us, some of us, to just accept things that are hard to understand because God and Jesus are concerned with them. And I'm sure that many of you as children would have probably been scolded for making such a statement and for questioning God's power. But what's really wrong with wondering and asking? What's wrong with naming what we're probably really thinking? If miracles were easy and explainable, well, we wouldn't call them miracles. And Jesus's resurrection is arguably the most miraculous of all miracles. Not too many people get to die, rise from the dead, walk amongst their friends, and then never die again, ascend into heaven. We all know that poor Thomas gets a bad rap in history of Christianity for doubting that Jesus is alive. We all know the classic trope of doubting Thomas. But to be fair, the doubters in the story are not just Thomas. If we remember to perhaps just a week ago, we might remember how the women go and visit the tomb and then they come back and tell the disciples what they have seen. And the disciples say that that is an idle tale. If you don't remember it, I do. Never forget. Thomas is not in the upper room. He didn't get to see Jesus like the other disciples. He doesn't get to witness the truth for himself. I don't think he's being a putz for naming his doubt and his worry that something so miraculous might not be true. Because truth is a slippery thing. We know how easy it is for us as people to be fooled. One of my personal least favorite days of the year, April Fool's Day, I always fall for at least two or three things, and I don't like it. We know how easy it is to fall for an untrustworthy news story or even a phone scam. It's this fine line of being both open-hearted people in the world and also street smart. And it's a tough line to walk. It's stressful. So we have to cut Thomas some slack. And with that in mind, remember that there are quite a few parts of this story, of the resurrection story, when we look at it in full, that are also miraculous and that may be pretty hard for us to believe. If we go way back, I think it's hard for us to believe that Simon of Cyrene was willing to carry the cross for Jesus, to do something humiliating and selfless for another. It's probably a little bit hard to believe that Jesus would promise two sinners on the cross when he himself is suffering and dying that they would be with him in paradise. To believe that someone could still offer selfless forgiveness and hope in the worst case scenario. It's a little bit hard to believe that Joseph of Arimathea would be willing to give up his own tomb and expensive spices for Jesus' body. To believe that someone wealthy and a part of the Jewish leadership would dissent from the other leaders' plot to have Jesus killed and then publicly care for the body of a supposed outlaw. It's probably also hard to believe that the women still went to this tomb, despite the risk of punishment against them, to believe that they would go to a place they shouldn't have been, to risk having their hearts broken again, to care for Jesus' body. And it's hard to believe that Jesus would show up in a locked room where the disciples were gathered. To believe that Jesus isn't dead or a ghost but still alive and carrying the wounds of the crucifixion. It's hard to believe that the disciples still risked gathering when they could be next on the list of the Jewish leaders to be crucified, so that their movement was finally crushed. To believe that they still hoped in the world that Jesus envisioned. But what I find hardest of all to believe is that when Jesus shows up, he speaks a word of peace. There is indeed a lot that's hard to believe and comprehend in this miraculous story. It's not just the coming back from the dead. And honestly, for me, the resurrection itself, actually being raised from the dead to life, that is something that is so wildly out of my own ballpark of understanding and ability to comprehend that if you ask me to believe it, I'll say, sure, why not, every time. The idea that when we die, we also get raised up to be with God, great. Love it. Sign me up. It's fantastic. Because I, of course, want to be with all the people I love in the afterlife. And the idea that God has power over even death is something that just gives me hope. And I don't have to do anything other than believe. The actual physical resurrection, it doesn't require a lot from me in the here and now. Jesus did all the work, I just have to share the good news, and I can sign off on that one. So the part that I think might hit home for us the most in the world in which we exist is, if we're talking about what's believable or not, is the struggle to believe that after everything done to Jesus by the Roman Empire, by the religious leaders, even the betrayal of his friends and disciples, that he comes back visibly wounded, and offers a word of peace. To me, this selfless, nonviolent act, while still bearing witness to the worst that people are capable of, is difficult. Because we're so programmed to want vengeance and retribution. And what is even harder is knowing that we are called as followers of Jesus to walk in his ways, to reflect this type of love for our world. And that's no small feat. To offer grace to the powers of this world that need peace and forgiveness the most, so that they might be healed. To offer grace to the people that deserve it the least, even when you believe they aren't going to change. And I bet the disciples are struggling with that too. How to live out Jesus's peace in a world full of wounds, in a world where they still have the powers of the religious leaders in the Roman Empire to fear. It's clear that they're afraid. They're afraid of what will be done to them before and after Jesus' death. They gather together, yes, but they have shut themselves away. They are locked in the upper room because they are afraid of being found and killed. The disciples are afraid of exactly what Jesus shows them, the mark of the nails in his hands and the wounds in his sides. Yet the disciples come back together. Jesus comes back to them, even when they are living in the reality that their movement has not yet overcome the empire quite yet. Jesus and his vision for the world are not dead, and there is hope. There is still room for hope. The disciples believed this. So my question for us today is, why would we choose to believe in this story of resurrection? Because if you want a share in the part of being raised from the dead, then you also have to accept the part of what it means to be a resurrection people who live in a world where empires still leave wounds. It certainly would be easier to follow a God through Christ Jesus who triumphs over death and comes back and just wipes out all his enemies, who says to his disciples in the upper room, "Those monsters crucified me? Get your swords. We're going to go get them back." But we follow a God who asks us to live in peace, to offer that peace even if the powers that be will never exhibit it, to hope for Jesus' vision of peace even when violence still surrounds us. And so are you willing to believe this hard part of the story? That we follow a God who comes back to a locked room with wounds from the violence and evil that people are capable of to remind us to live in peace? To be a resurrection people means to believe that Jesus is both raised and that death does not have the last say. And also, that he came back so that he might exemplify forgiveness, that he would ask us to go out and do that too, to exemplify forgiveness, love, and peace to us who really need to hear it the most. I believe because I need to hope in that peace, that there is still room for it. Do you believe it too?